This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good morning, BFM 89.9, 7:19 in the morning. But in the meantime, let's go back in time, way back to the start of 2020.
Yes, because the first COVID-19 case in Malaysia was confirmed 2 years ago today on 25th January 2020. The index case came from a family from China who were travelling from Singapore to Johor. It wasn't until March that the World Health Organization declared COVID-19 a pandemic after cases had been reported in 114 countries. Since then, Malaysia has recorded more than 2.8 million infections and nearly 32,000 deaths due to COVID-19.
So fortunately, a turning point in flattening the pandemic curve was the introduction of COVID vaccines in December 2020, which was then subsequently rolled out around the world throughout 2021. But of course, there's been new variants like Delta and of course Omicron, which has been very, very infectious. So after 2 years of living under this cloud of the pandemic, what best practices can we draw from this and even learn how to deal with future viruses? So to answer these questions, we now turn to Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, the senior lecturer at the Jeffrey Chia School of Medicine and Health Sciences. Good morning, Doc. Now, overall, how would you grade Malaysia's handling of the pandemic over the course of the last 2 years? Did we get them right in terms of policy measures?
Hi, guys. Morning. Thanks for having me again. Now, let us not forget the COVID-19 and the SARS-CoV-2, because that is our virus for COVID-19, was a novel virus, right? We had never encountered something like this before. We don't know the characteristics. We don't know the transmission. We don't know, the mutation capacity of the virus, right? There were a lot of unknowns in the early days. And, you know, when the virus first broke out in China, right, and due to the novel characteristics of the virus, many countries, including Malaysia, had assumed that, you know, the COVID-19 infection could be a local outbreak where the chances of spreading to other countries were slim, right? And many countries had initially downplayed the severity of the virus because there was a simply lack of understanding and information of the characteristics of the transmission and the virus, right? And in addition, during the first phase of the outbreak, you know, we had, you know, a unique situation where a sudden change of government left the country, you know, I would say, void of a stable, continuous governance. Now, all this actually, you know, contributed to the pandemic response. And in the early days, with the concurrent onset of COVID-19 clusters, right, government needed drastic interventions to prevent, you know, from the cases to increase the severity, the deaths, the mortality to increase, right? And, you know, the approach taken by Malaysia had been based on past experiences from China, for example, handling pandemics where strict lockdown, social distancing, banning mass gatherings, which had shown, you know, resounding success in controlling the pandemic, right? Now, as a whole, if you look at the US, there's more than 70 million cases, more than 800 deaths in the UK, more than 15 million cases, and more than 150,000 deaths. It shows that, you know, even the more advanced, richer countries struggled in containing the pandemic, right? But as a highlight, what did we get right? So, you know, I would say that the Ministry of Health and Government designed a combination of MCO measures and targeted screening, right, to use in the mitigation phase. I see that, you know, this is a real success. You know, what happened that was that, you know, this created a small window of opportunity, right, aiming to break the transmission chain of the virus, which is really, really important in preventing further deaths, you know, increase of patients with severity. And, you know, this implementation of MCOs, was aimed at achieving two objectives, slowing the transmission chain in the community and allowing the Ministry of Health to trace, isolate, and manage the identified positive cases. I think this was a success.
Right.
This was a success.
Right. But there were still gaps, right, in the public health care. So what lessons can we learn from those gaps?
Absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, if you look at, you know, investing in terms of the first line of defense or preparedness, I feel that is not enough, right? We need, you know, there should be an investment in the second line of this defense, which is the health system, right? The COVID-19 crisis is a threat to domestic health system. There are already short of resources in many developing countries, including Malaysia, right? And you know that the COVID-19 crisis have overwhelmed health system and changed their capacity to handle basic function, right? So what do we do? Upgrade the capacity of healthcare facilities, improve ability to care for, you know, population at risk, such as the elderly, treated patient, as well as person with disabilities, right? And again, I would like to highlight continued funding towards pandemic preparedness, right? Now, what happened is that the pandemic preparedness is prone to a panic neglect cycle. What happens that, you know, usually policymakers rush to allocate emergency funding. You know, they put in millions at the early stages. As soon as the pandemic waves, you know, it stops. It stops. Despite risk of, you know, future pandemics or resurgence, you know. So this should not be the case, right? Mechanisms need to be put in place to invest in pandemic preparedness. Now, when I say preparedness, you're talking about surveillance, you're talking about testing and diagnostics, you're talking about, you know, a national vaccine policy and how the next pandemic will turn out.
Yeah. So, Doc, we've had 2 years of the pandemic. We've got now the WHO saying that we're entering the stabilization period. And we've basically learned a few lessons from the last 2 years. How should we be entering 2022? For example, do we continue to do contact tracing? Do we continue to keep our masks on? What should be the approach?
Absolutely. Now, what does that mean for Malaysia? No? Everybody's talking about the endemic phase. Everybody talking about, you know, living with the virus. Now, we first must understand all pandemics end, right? The COVID-19 pandemic will also end, but it is not over yet. Very, very important, right? And, you know, in the past 2 years, 3 years, we have missed a lot of opportunities, education, connections, family, loved ones, right? In any scenario for the future COVID-19 pandemic or living with the virus, right, depends on the way the societies respond, right? The three main pillars. First, the extent to which countries can effectively scale and make available, you know, new oral vaccines to supplement, new oral therapeutics, right? Antiviral drugs to supplement vaccines, right? Second, how fast the countries can, you know, increase their booster doses rate, because which is very important in living with the latest strains, variants, right? And third, given that the public fatigue and lessons learned past 2 years, finding the right combination of public health measures is absolutely critical. This is what, you know, you said before, you know, testing, you know, maintaining social distancing, health hygiene, you know, masking and all that.
So, you know, we talk about the actions taken to manage the pandemic, but this pandemic has huge ramifications for the broader healthcare industry, isn't it? We're talking about the impacts on mental health and also other non-communicable diseases. What does this mean actually for us?
So it simply means that, you know, whenever there is a huge pandemic, you know, the SARS-CoV-2 and COVID-19 is an example, that we need a multi-centered approach, right? Multi-centered approach. Vaccines alone won't win us the war, right? There should be multi-centered approach in tackling the pre and post pandemic.
Yeah, okay, well, thank you so much, Doc. That was Dr. Vinod Balasubramaniam, the senior lecturer and co-lead at the Jeffrey Chan School of Medicine and Health Sciences.
Yeah, and we're running a poll. In your view, what was the biggest revelation of the COVID-19 pandemic? Tell us what you think. The options are low healthcare investment, deep income inequality, or kita jaga kita. Please tell us.
Yeah, right now the results are quite interesting, because 55% say kita jaga kita, which in a way is a reflection of how the government has performed, right? Because we couldn't rely on a public policy approach. And then running a close second is deep income inequality. And that is also true in the wider medical sphere, right?
Yeah.
If you don't have access to your, you know, to wealth, basically, you can't pay for treatment. And remember those horror stories in the past, in the last 2 years, where for those who are not insured, they went to hospital to get COVID treatment, over 100,000, 80,000 ringgit. It was horrendous.
Yeah. I mean, it goes to show that the pandemic has implications beyond just the healthcare system. It talks about our social infrastructure, our economy, and how we look after each other as well as a society.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.